This is something that is right now changing my life. As I study this, as I minister this, as Sarah and I get into the Word regarding some of the things that you and I are going to be talking about, they're life changing. And I know that it will be the very same for you.
The greatest change that takes place in the life of a believer is when you transfer the cares of this life over to Jesus. Join Jeremy Pearsons today as he begins his message on how to live in a place called rest. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. One of my absolute favorite things in all the world is anytime my grandparents, Kenneth or Gloria Copeland, call and say, Jeremy, we want you to do the broadcast, or the invitation comes through. Man, this is a highlight for me. I absolutely love sitting at this desk, this table with these fruit, you and all of us together. It's a great time, man. And I am so excited about what the Lord has got coming up for you and I over this week and on into next week. This is going to be something, I'm absolutely confident of this. This is something that is right now changing my life. As I study this, as I minister this, as Sarah and I get into the Word regarding some of the things that you and I are going to be talking about, they're life changing. And I know that it will be the very same for you. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray right now, and I want you to come into agreement with me. And we're going to pray over a couple of things. Number one, we're going to pray over just the Word and these broadcasts, that the Word would go out and be strong, and then it would be precise. But we're also going to come into agreement over Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the heads of this ministry. And you and I are just going to thank the Lord for what He's doing through them. And we're going to just come into agreement, because I know this ministry for many of you has been a blessing to you, and ministries like it. And it's a good thing when the Lord puts it on your heart to lift people before Him in prayer. That's intercession, and you are doing the work of a believer when you do that. So join with me right now. Before we get into any of this, let's go before the Lord and come into agreement and pray the prayer of faith over these broadcasts. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for a Savior. We thank You for a friend and brother. Lord, we thank You that we are saved and belong to You. Father, we pray over these broadcasts that are coming up this week and on into next. And I thank You, Lord, that the Word will be strong. The Word will be exactly what You've filled our mouths with. And I thank You, Lord, for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Lord, we give You praise for everything You're doing in our lives. Now, Father, I come into agreement with this viewing audience, and we lift before You Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and I thank You, Lord, for giving them to the body of Christ. What a gift You've given, and we thank You for it. Father, we lift them before You, and I thank You, Lord, that You are strengthening them. You are giving them everything that it takes to do what You've called them to do. We give You praise for the things that You've already said and done and accomplished in their lives, and everything that's yet to come for it. Lord, we give You great thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, we glorify You. Amen, amen. Praise God. All right, let's get into the Word today. I want to begin something in this broadcast now that we're going to walk out over the next several days. And you need to do what it takes to make the decision to stay plugged into this. All right, don't just give this a day or two. Give it everything that you've got, because we're going to progress over the next several days. We're going to begin today and let it lead us right into tomorrow, into Wednesday, and on through the rest of the week. And by the time we get done with this, I guarantee you, if you allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through the Word of God, it will bring change into your life. As a matter of fact, I want you right now, whatever it is, whatever area, whatever situation you can think of that needs change, and I'm almost sure that every single one of us can think of something just like that. Some area, some arena in life that you know needs change. And I want you to hold that thing before the Lord. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to cast the care of it over onto Him. Scripture says just roll your care onto Him. Cast your care onto Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Now, yes, that means that he cares about you. He cares about you affectionately. But listen, he will care for you. He will do the caring for you. You don't have to do it when you cast all of that onto him, all right? So that's what we're going to do right at the beginning of this. And we are going to let the anointing that's on the Word, that's in the Word, we're going to let that be the change. We're going to let that anointing bring the change that you and I need. Amen? Mark chapter 6. Let's go there together. Mark chapter 6. This is where we will begin today, and as the Spirit leads us, we'll progress on from here throughout the rest of the week. Mark chapter 6, let's begin in verse 7. And he, Jesus, called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now let's talk about this just for a moment. Jesus calls the 12 disciples to him, and then he begins to send them back out two by two, but not before he gave them power. If you remember some months ago, I was on this broadcast with you, and if you weren't able to see those, then I encourage you go back to kcm.org, and everything is available there to you for free. You can download old broadcasts and get back into those. But I want to remind you of something we talked about several months ago. We began, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to learn how to identify grace when we see it. Now, for so many people, there's a concept of grace, and it's good and it's right, but it's incomplete. It's incomplete if the only way you ever think about grace is that was how I was saved, you know, way back then on my day of salvation, however long ago that was. If that's the last time you thought about grace, then your understanding of grace is small and it needs to grow. It needs to enlarge, because listen to me, anything, any truth that you are saved by is truth to live by. Any truth that you were born again by is truth that you live every day after that. That's the truth you live by. So grace, yes, we were saved by grace through our faith. Let's identify that for a moment. Grace, it is grace because it's a gift. The word grace and the word gift, oftentimes they're translated, I should say it like this, the Greek word in the New Testament, it's the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, and variations of it. There are times it's translated in the New Testament as grace. There are times it's translated as gift. So grace, really, that word grace just means gift. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 4 that if we were saved by our works, then it couldn't be grace, it would be debt. If your salvation or my salvation came just because we worked really hard for it, just because you and I performed so beautifully and we kept all the commandments over and over, day in, day out, never made a mistake, never missed it once, raise your hand if that's you. Put your hand down. That ain't you. Listen to me. You didn't do that. I didn't do that. We could not perform for our salvation. And you know that, don't you? If I were to ask you, are you saved by works or are you saved by grace? You would say grace, right? Well, what does that mean? It means, like Romans 4 says, if it was by your works, then it wouldn't be grace. It would be debt. It would be God owing you something. It would be God coming to you and saying, wow, wow, you did it. You have worked so hard. You have given this your all, and you have performed so beautifully. Now I owe you salvation. But listen to me, that's not what happened. No, even while you were dead in trespasses and in your sins, he gave you Jesus. Your salvation is a gift, and because it's a gift, that makes it grace. All right, now I'm saying all this to you because I want you to learn to identify grace when you see it. Number one, grace is a gift. What did we read here in Mark chapter 6, verse 7? It says, Jesus called to himself the 12 and then began to send them out two by two and gave them power. He gave them. So what does that mean? He gifted them, or he graced them with power. The power that came to those disciples through Jesus is grace. the power that it took to do what he was about to call them to do, that was grace. Your salvation is grace because it was a gift. Now, not only is it grace because it was a gift, but it's also grace because it came through Jesus. If you remember some months ago, we talked about that. We began to identify grace as anything that comes through Jesus. John chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, both identify grace as coming through Jesus. You remember John chapter 1 said that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. Romans chapter 1 says essentially the same thing, that it came through Jesus. So anything that you find as a gift from God to you through Jesus, that right there, that should immediately cause you to think grace. That's grace. I see that as grace. My salvation, your salvation is a gift from God to you through Jesus. Grace. Your forgiveness is a gift from God to you through Jesus. There is no salvation without the Savior, right? Can we come into agreement on that? No salvation without the Savior. So salvation, forgiveness of sins, is a gift from God to you through Jesus, making it grace. Now, don't let your understanding of grace be limited to that day of salvation or we've been forgiven of our sins. All of that is true, but begin to understand, allow the Holy Ghost to unlock that for you. Think about what all is included in your salvation, in your forgiveness. Listen, it's not just the forgiveness of sins, it's your victory over sin. It's not just the forgiveness for when you miss it, it's the power of God in you, excuse me, and on you and working through you to keep you from missing it. That is grace, man. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "Thanks be to God." You remember this scripture? Thanks be to God who causes us, or this particular one I'm thinking about says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you see right there? You see the word, He gives this to you, and you see that it comes through Jesus. What word should you and I immediately think when we see that? We think grace. Our victory that comes from God to us through Jesus is a gift. Our victory is grace. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to see in all this. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. He calls them to himself, and he began to send them out, but not before he gave them power. Jesus gave them. He graced them. He gifted them with power. What kind of power? Power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Verse 10, and he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So let's put all this together. Jesus has called to himself the 12. And he begins to teach them, he begins to show them, here's what's going to happen. I am sending you out into ministry. Now, when he sent them out, once again, what did he do? He gave them, he gifted them, he graced them with power. Whose power? His power. The power that these guys had been watching him operate and minister under for an extended period of time. Now, they've been watching this over and over. The power to heal the sick, the power to raise the dead, the power for blind eyes to be opened, for lame legs to walk. These 12 guys had watched this power in operation day in and day out. The power to preach, the power to heal, the power to deliver. And now Jesus calls them to himself and says, hey guys, that power you've been watching me operate in, now I'm giving it to you. Now, here's what's going to happen. He said, you are going to go into a place and there are going to be times where you find people that open their homes to you. They open their cities to you and you go in there. And when you find that place, you camp out right there. You preach right there. You heal right there. You use this power that I'm giving you and you stay there until you leave. But he also said there's going to be places where you're going to go and they won't hear it. Notice what Jesus is doing here. He is giving his disciples a crash course, so to speak, on ministry. He's saying this is what's going to happen. Isn't that interesting? He says there's going to be places you find that it'll work. There's going to be places you'll find that because of their resistance, it won't work. And when it doesn't work, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on. Now, we're headed somewhere in all of this, but there's some key things that I really want you to see, and I'm going to continue to repeat until I really think that these things have taken root in us. You've got to remember, we've got to notice some things here. These disciples had been sent out by Jesus, all right? They didn't come to him and say, Jesus, when is it our turn? You always get to preach. You always get to lay hands. I'm gifted too, Jesus. You know, I'm called too. Nobody ever sees my gift. No, Jesus, these guys were just doing, they were just serving him in his ministry until the time came that Jesus called them to him and he sent them out. Now, the reason I'm saying these things is because this is how it's supposed to be for you and me. So no more of this sitting around at home, upset and pouting because you think pastor doesn't see your calling. You think this minister over here, if they just call on you or if someone would just recognize your gift. No, you just stay faithful in what you're doing because this is the way it's supposed to happen. There's a time for everything. But and these guys waited for that time. Jesus sent them out with that power. Now, he made it clear too, I don't want you taking anything else. Now, I'm sure you could try to build a doctrine on that and say, you preachers, you shouldn't be taking anything. See? No, listen to me. This is the first time these guys have been sent out like this. And Jesus is saying to them, I don't want you depending on anything but my power. I don't want your faith in anything, not in money, not in your reputation, not in any amount of clothes you can bring with you. I don't want your faith, your trust in anything but my power. And until you learn to depend on my power, don't take any of that with you. Can you see how we can apply some of these things to our lives? We need to become so dependent on the power that has been graced to us, a gift from God to us through Jesus. We need to learn to depend on that. Now, fast forward with me. Now we're getting into where we're going to be headed over the next several days. Look ahead to verse 30. Jesus had sent them out. He had given them power. He said, you're going to have power over unclean spirits. But now look at verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things. They told him everything. Everything about what? What they had done and what they had taught. Now, notice a couple of key things here. Previously in the chapter, he's calling together his disciples, but now that they've come home, notice the scripture calls them the apostles. Who's an apostle? An apostle is one that has been sent. Not one that got up and went on his own. Not one that got tired of nobody recognizing his call and his gift or her ability, so they got up and left town. No, that's not an apostle. An apostle is someone that's been sent. Do you see that? So now the apostles, the ones that got sent, gathered back to Jesus, came home, and it says they told him everything, what they had done and what they had taught. Can you just imagine this? Can you picture this? These 12 young guys gathering back to Jesus who had just a few days before been sent out with power over unclean spirits. Now what? Now they've come home and they're so excited. They are telling him everything that they did. Jesus, you gotta hear this. And all of them, I imagine all of them just talking to him at once and none of them shutting up. Every single one of them all just going on and on about what they'd seen. Jesus, oh man, it was amazing. You sent us with power and I preached what you preached and I laid hands on the sick just the way I saw you do it. And it worked. It worked. They were sick and then they weren't, and they had a demon. Then I prayed and the demon left it. It was amazing. And all of them just going on and on and on and on all at once. And Jesus finally just says, okay, one at a time, you. And they just begin to pour their heart out about what they had seen and what had happened through them, the power that was at work through them. And I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like this before, but anytime you find yourself yielded to the Holy Spirit in such a way that He can work through you to affect somebody else, man, there's no high like that. There is no thrill like that. There is no thrill other than knowing, God, you used me. You used me to bring change into somebody, and it just gets all over you and you get addicted to it. But here's what I want you to see. Said all of that to bring you to right here. Jesus could have said anything to them at that point in time. Jesus could have looked at them and said, well, you know, that's good, and some of these things are good, but what are you doing home? You need to get back out there. There's still more sick out there. There's still more dying out there. Would that have been true? Yeah, it would have been true. He could have said, you think that's something? What about all the rest of these people dying and going to hell? What about them? You gonna get out there and pray for them? He could have said any of that, but I want you to notice what he said in verse 31. This is his response to their excitement. This is his response to the results that they had, that they had seen. Here's what Jesus said. Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Wow. Jesus' response to these guys who had been out on the road, out in what the New Living Translation calls a ministry tour, who had been so excited, they'd been working hard, they'd been giving it everything. As a matter of fact, it went on to say in the rest of that verse, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. No time to even sit down and have a meal. And Jesus recognized that, and his next command, his first command was, you go. You go with power. You go out and you pray for people. And the very next time they saw him, this was his instruction. Now it's time to come aside and rest. Over the next several days, on into next week, I am going to be teaching you. You and I are going to be hearing from the Holy Spirit about how to live in a place called rest. That's what we're going to be talking about. We've got to begin to see and recognize and understand that there are times where the call of God on you will send you out. It's an assignment on you into your workplace. It's an assignment on you into your mission field. But just as much as that is an assignment, there are times where He's called you away into a place of rest. Now, of course, that's a natural physical rest, but we're going to learn how to rest from the inside out. We're living in the day of rest. We're living in the day of grace. We're going to learn these things and it's going to bring change. I'm out of time. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Have you looked at your schedule lately? Pretty busy, right? But what about God? There is a place in God where you can come away and find true rest. Experience God's Rest is a package of two practical teaching series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland designed to help you enter into that place of rest. Don't Stress Out, Trust God by Kenneth Copeland tells you how to take anxiety and worry out of your life. God is willing and able to take care of you. Learn to trust Him and start living His way free of stress. God Can Turn It Around by Gloria Copeland gives you confidence in God's ability. He can change your circumstances and fix whatever situation you're facing. See yourself through His eyes and change the direction of your life. Experience God's rest This package will take you from feeling stressed out to being at peace and resting in God. The Experience God's Rest package is being offered to you at a special 50% savings. Now just $20 for both CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Order the Experience God's Rest package and learn the importance of making rest a priority in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit us at kcm.org.
I want you to look around you and identify where you live. Now, I'm not just talking about the country you live in, the state or the city you live in. I mean, what environment do you live in? Because you and I should be and could be living in a place called rest. Now, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have put together a package that they want to offer to you called Experiencing God's Rest. I want you to experience this. Whatever challenge, whatever difficulty you are facing, you need to know and believe and understand that God can turn that thing around. And when that help comes to you, there's no need to be stressed out. That's why this particular CD series is called Don't Stress Out, Trust God. And then we've got God Can Turn It Around. Both of these things coupled together begin to teach you how to enter in to the rest of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about in these broadcasts over the next several days. Order these, get a hold of them. They'll be a blessing to you. And you'll learn how to live in this place called rest. Amen. Let me tell you about our Believers Convention this year. Some of you are used to us having several conventions throughout the year, but this year, something special under the direction of the Lord. This is what we're going to be doing. One big celebration called Homecoming 2010. It's August 2nd through the 7th right here in Fort Worth, Texas. And of course, our speakers are Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar. But I want you to notice this too. We've got services not just for you grown-ups, but we've got services for your kids. Super kids, ages 6 through 12. For your teenagers, your junior high and high school students, we've got 1440, ages 13 through 18. These meetings are, they're not just essential for you. They are essential for you, but not just you. This is absolutely critical for your whole family to be a part of these. Your children. How many times have you as an adult said, I wish I heard these things when I was a kid. I wish somebody told me this when I was a teenager. That's what we're doing. We are telling your kids, we are telling your teenagers, it will be a blessing to you. An absolutely unforgettable week in the presence of God for everybody in your entire family. So for more information about this meeting, you can go to kcm.org. Join me all week long as you and I learn how to live in a place called rest. This is Jeremy Pearsons, and I want to remind you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Stephen Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org.